Good afternoon. Can you hear me? Sorry. Early syphilis cases in Oregon increased from 26 cases in 2007 to 406 cases in 2013, an incidence of 10.3 cases per 100,000. This increase is similar to national trends as we've recently seen. Multnomah County, which makes up a large part of the Portland metropolitan area, accounted for 58% of the reported 2013 early syphilis cases. 95% of the cases were in men who have sex with men, or MSM, and 55% were HIV infected. In light of this increase, the Oregon Public Health Division, in collaboration with Multnomah County's Public Health Department and CDC's Division of STD Prevention, conducted a case control study to evaluate novel risk factors for early syphilis infection. Syphilis is caused by the bacterium Treponema pallidum. It is a sexually transmitted infection with transmission occurring via direct contact with a chancre. A firm, round, painless lesion which marks the spot where the bacterium enters the body. Chancres are most commonly seen in the genital area or in the oral cavity. Symptoms of syphilis are highly variable but typically progress through a series of stages with episodes of active clinical disease interrupted by periods of subclinical or latent infection. Syphilis is most commonly diagnosed using blood tests, but can be also diagnosed by visualizing the bacteria using dark field microscopy. Each year, early syphilis includes stages of disease that occur during the first year of infection. Patients are most infectious during this time period. Early syphilis can be treated with a single intramuscular injection of long-acting benzathine penicillin G. Complications of untreated syphilis include gumma or lesions of the skin, bone, and liver, cardiac abnormalities, neurologic changes, death, and congenital syphilis. For the last 15 years, various studies focusing on the MSM community have reported the use of internet and mobile apps to meet sex partners, and associations between internet, sex partner seeking, and STI risk. The case control's primary objective was to assess the association between early syphilis and the use of internet websites and mobile apps to meet sex partners, something we refer to as meeting online. Additionally, we hope to confirm known or previously reported risk factors for early syphilis, including number of sex partners and drug use. For the study, cases were defined as Multnomah County residents self-reported as being MSM, aged 18 years or older at the time of the study, with laboratory-confirmed early syphilis reported between January 1st through December 31st, 2013, and self-reported as being sexually active in the 3 months prior to syphilis diagnosis. Controls were defined the same as cases, except controls had no self-report of early syphilis in the previous 2 years and were sexually active in the 3 months prior to the interview. We attempted to recruit 2 controls for every case. Controls were frequency matched to cases by HIV status and age group. I'll now walk you through the procedures for both case and control recruitment. 200 male residents of Multnomah County with at least 1 case of early syphilis diagnosed during 2013 were eligible for the study. We recruited case participants by mailing introductory letters to reported cases, telephoning each man who did not respond to the letter, and texting him if he did not answer the phone call. We attempted to contact men 3 times by phone or text to schedule an interview to meet with him in person to take the survey. 97 of the 200 men were unreachable by U.S. mail or phone. Of the 103 men we were able to contact, 46 men refused to participate, including 12 who scheduled but failed to show up for their interview. We successfully interviewed 57 cases. We recruited control participants from 4 different sources. The Medical Monitoring Project is a survey of individuals receiving medical care for HIV infection. Similar to case recruitment, we mailed introductory letters, telephoned and texted MSM residents of Multnomah County who participated in the Medical Monitoring Project. When we completed an interview with a man recruited from the Medical Monitoring Project, we asked him to consider referring HIV-negative MSM friends to participate. We also stationed ourselves in the Multnomah County STD and HIV clinics and 2 private primary care clinics described as gay-friendly to identify additional control participants. Participants were enrolled in person during February through May 2014. After enrollment, participants completed a self-administered survey using iPads provided by the survey team. The surveys collected information about demographics, venues for meeting sex partners, sex partner selection, and sexual risk behaviors over a 3-month recall period, 3 months prior to infection for cases, and 3 months prior to survey administration for controls. We offered control participants syphilis and HIV screening. If they declined syphilis screening, we asked if they would sign a release of information for the study team to obtain their most recent syphilis screening results. We excluded control participants who had reactive syphilis serologic test results. We performed multivariable logistic regression to identify factors associated with early syphilis infection. We completed 177 interviews. After exclusion of one control found to have recent syphilis infection, our results focused on data from 176 interviews, 57 cases, and 119 controls. There are no significant differences between cases and controls with regards to age, HIV status, ethnicity, race, education level achieved, or income. Cases reported significantly higher number of sex partners than controls during the recall period. The strength of this association increased with higher number of sex partners. We also found significant associations between early syphilis infection and anal sex without a condom and methamphetamine use. Initial logistic regression, adjusted for HIV status and age group, the frequency-matched variables, showed a significant association between meeting sex partners online and early syphilis. We used multivariable models to further investigate this association. Before beginning the analysis, we decided on a priori confounders. We controlled for HIV status, age group, education level, income, race, and anal sex without a condom. We found that the association between the use of any internet website or mobile app to meet sex partners and early syphilis infection remained significant. These results answered our primary question. Meeting sex partners online is associated with early syphilis. We hypothesized that one mechanism through which meeting online contributes to the increased risk of early syphilis is through increasing the risk of an important intermediate event, number of sex partners. To test this hypothesis, we ran a second model. For the second model, we used the same variables as the first, but added number of sex partners. The odds ratio decreased from 3.0 to 1.4 and became non-significant. The change in effect, when including number of sex partners in the multivariable model, and our hypothesis that the number of sex partners is in the causal pathway, suggests that number of sex partners may be a mediator between meeting online and early syphilis. Many survey participants use internet websites or mobile apps to meet sex partners, 70% of cases and 42% of controls. The median number of sex partners during the recall period was higher for cases than for controls. The use of internet websites or mobile apps to meet sex partners was significantly associated with early syphilis after controlling for potential confounders. However, an individual's number of sex partners may be a mediator between the use of internet websites or mobile apps to meet sex partners and early syphilis. Our study has the following limitations. First, non-response bias is related to the lack of contact information for 97 cases, which accounts for 44% of the potential case participants. Those that were unreachable are likely more transient and might take part in higher risk behaviors, biasing our results towards the null. We were concerned about recall bias for the cases. Although controls were asked to recall behaviors in the 3 months prior to the survey, cases were asked to recall behaviors 3 months prior to their syphilis diagnosis, which varied from 3 to 20 months prior to survey administration. Thus, cases could have had poorer recall than controls. These concerns were partially mitigated by the fact that previous interviews conducted by disease intervention specialists at the time of the syphilis diagnosis would likely improve recall. Finally, while we had adequate sample size to evaluate a number of associations, the sample size may have been too small to evaluate additional risk factors for early syphilis. The high number of individuals who use internet websites and mobile apps to meet sex partners suggests that these media may be important interventions public health can focus on for prevention of STIs. These interventions may include patient education focused on recognition of signs and symptoms of syphilis, or reminder systems for regular STI screening. Future research is needed to determine the utility of online interventions for syphilis prevention. I would like to thank the many individuals who contributed to the successful completion of this investigation. Thank you.
fantastic presentation. Questions?
Did you expect any additional comorbidities related to the online partners?
We didn't really, no. We're focused mainly on the syphilis and didn't ask. Well, we asked questions about a number of different things in our questionnaire that I didn't focus on in this talk, but we didn't specifically ask about have you been diagnosed with, like, chlamydia or gonorrhea or some of those other common STDs. But by frequency, like, we did look at the association with HIV, obviously, by focusing on that in the selection of participants. So that was the one area that we looked at a little bit more in depth.
I thought that it was really interesting when you talked about the nephews. Do you have a theory for why nephews
I think that there's been studies that have shown associations with a number of different drugs, meth being one that's used, I think, referred to as party and play a lot of times. I don't know if somebody else who has more experience or has done the research about the meth specifically, but I think that it heightens, like, sexual arousal possibly. It also decreases inhibitions like a number of other drugs, and exactly what the mechanism behind that or the neural pathways, I don't know about, but it's been a frequently recognized association.
Was there a distribution of sites and apps, or was it mainly like Grindr?
Yeah, there were actually four different ones. I think I have a couple of. The top four, Adam for Adam, Bareback Real Time, Grindr, and Scruff. So for the men in Multnomah County during this time period, these were the four that they mentioned most frequently. There were a list of 14 specific ones that we asked about, and then we also had another category where people could write in whichever app or mobile device or the website they used. But those were the ones that seemed to be most commonly used, at least in the population we were interviewing.
Were there any considerations for stratification by race?
I think just based on Oregon's population in general, there's not too much of a the race issue. I mean, there are disparities that are seen within Oregon, even based on race. But within the population we were looking at, the numbers weren't high enough. We did think about we tried to recruit monolingual Spanish speakers, and there were only 5 identified in that 200, the 200 cases that we looked at. And so we were able to look at 3 of those cases, but felt that their answers weren't representative of the typical white MSM male. That was after discussion with the Multnomah County disease specialists and other people about how their risk factors might be a little bit different. But that, along with, like, African American or Black, we didn't look at those more closely for trying to do targeted. Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to restate the bias in the study that you there was nearly
44% we couldn't contact, yes. Those are people we couldn't contact.
They couldn't contact or that didn't respond to the
study. So for the 97, the 44% that we couldn't contact, the phone number was either disconnected or not working, and the letters were returned to us.
That's a very large number of individuals that mm-hmm. were not selected. So in some way or another, it is that selection bias. And I believe that those individuals were probably more likely than those that volunteered or were found to have more sexual partners. Therefore, the odds ratio that you got is probably less than the real odds ratio.
Mm-hmm.
Well, on that note, I had one question on the causal pathway.
Mm-hmm.
Your suggestion that you mentioned something about a mediator in one of the later slides, so maybe that was the point, but it may well be that individuals who desire to have more sex partners choose those methods to meet them.
Mm-hmm.
Any thoughts on that?
That's one of the main things that we've kind of been thinking about, or how to address that. And it came out, in addition to doing this study, there was also a qualitative like research study that we did where it was like a rapid ethnographic assessment of MSM in the Portland area as well as key stakeholders. And a number of times the theme of like this has become the new bathhouse, essentially, that people aren't using traditional venues for meeting sexual partners, but that this has emerged as just this new kind of virtual bathhouse is very present.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much.